Good to see you this morning, and it's good to have the Walkers back and their new child Felicity. It's good to have those who are visiting, those who have been out but now can come. We appreciate your presence, and I'm glad that we can spend some time this morning in a study of God's Word. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 18, in just a moment we will read a passage of Scripture there. This past week, the family and I were reading here in Acts chapter 18, and a verse hit me that I thought would be good for our lesson this morning. The high school class is going through the book of Acts, and so we thought we would read through the book of Acts at home. And coming across this passage, the statement that is made here that we'll look at in just a moment, I believe, is very pertinent for our lives today. If you were mentioned in the Bible just one time, would you want to be mentioned in a good light or a bad light? Would you want to be mentioned as doing something good or doing something bad? I think the answer is obvious. This morning we're going to read about an individual that was mentioned one time in Scripture. And we're going to see that what was said about him was such that it was neither good nor bad. We might just say he was indifferent. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. I want to talk a little bit this morning about religious indifference. And the statement that is made of Gallio that he cared for none of these things. If you stop and think about it, brethren and friends, indifference really is maybe a more foundational problem than anything else that you can think of in life. You think of bad things that a person can do. But indifference can be even worse, because indifference is the very thing that keeps us from making the changes that we need to make. And we see it all around us today. In Acts chapter 18, when Paul is in Corinth, we read in verse 12, "When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat." This is a raised stone pavement. You can still see it today. It is still there in the ancient ruins of Corinth. And Gallio was sitting on top of that raised pavement area that was used as a courtroom, if you will, a judgment seat. And Paul was brought there. And they were saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If indeed it were a matter of wrong or of wicked villainy, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if they are of questions about words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves. I am not minded to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat, and they all laid hold on Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of these things. This morning, I want us to talk about indifference, and I want to encourage us this morning, rather than to be indifferent, to be on fire in our service to the Lord. I ran across this illustration years ago. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it makes a good illustration, nonetheless. That a church building was burning down in town, and someone called 911, and the firemen show up. And the preacher shows up. And the firemen are trying to put out the fire there. And the preacher gets to talking to one of the firemen and finds out that he's an atheist. And the preacher says, "Well, I guess this is the first time you've ever come to the church." And the atheist said, "Yeah, that's right. And this is the first time I've ever seen this church on fire." Our service to God needs to be zealous. That word in the New Testament means to boil or bubble up or boil over. There's an implication that there's a fire going there. And I want to encourage us this morning in our service to God not to just simply be indifferent. I asked Alan if he would read the portion of the Good Samaritan that spoke of the priest and the Levite and not the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they just walked by. I'm sure they had some thoughts about the matter. Well, what a shame that he was robbed and beaten. I'm sure they had some thoughts, but they just kept walking. They didn't care. They were indifferent to the matter. Indifference can really be a more root problem than some other problems that we could think about in life, because it just keeps us from making those changes. That's a New Testament example. I think in the Old Testament example of the book of Haggai, in Haggai chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, along in there, where Haggai is trying to stir up the people of God to rebuild the temple. And he says there in Haggai chapter 1 that you have built your own house, but you've neglected the Lord's house. Is it time for you to build your own sealed houses? These were not just houses. These were houses that were sealed. We would talk about putting up drywall today and paint. This is a very nice home. They were living in sealed houses, houses that they had spent some time and money on, but they were neglecting the Lord's house. They weren't opposed to that. They were indifferent to it. They didn't want the house of the Lord to stop. They weren't opposed to it. They were more interested in their house, and they were indifferent toward building the Lord's house. Indifference is found different places in Scripture, and it robs us of our service to God. So I want to encourage us this morning to be on fire and to not be indifferent. Who is this Gallio? Well, his Roman name was Lucius Junius Gallio Ananus. I'm glad Luke chose Gallio. He was born about the time of Jesus Christ. He was a Roman proconsul, which was a type of governor. We would say a governor today over a certain area. And we know from secular history that he ruled from in Achaia from 51 to 52 AD. And so that makes this passage in the book of Luke a very accurate date in the book of Luke to, we can put a peg down there as we try to look at the chronology of the life of Paul, for example. Acts 18 is a very secure date of 51 to 52 AD. We know that Gallio served at that time, and various historical records indicate that outside Scripture. Luke is very accurate. And this Roman was the brother to the well-known writer Seneca. Maybe you heard in school at some point the Roman historian Seneca. Gallio was his brother. And Seneca wrote of his own brother that my brother Gallio is a sweet man. He used that word sweet. We're going to come back and make a point on that later in the lesson. But he apparently was a very well-mannered, nice, kind, good guy. And what we find here in Acts chapter 18 is that he just simply doesn't want to get involved. Some would say that he was being impartial. I disagree with that. I believe that this is more the idea of indifference. Look at Acts chapter 18. First of all, when Paul is brought before the judgment seat, Gallio is indifferent toward Paul's Christianity. He doesn't want to hear anything about it. The text says that when Paul was about to speak, verse 14, Gallio said, even Pilate let Jesus speak. Even Felix and Agrippa let Paul speak. This man doesn't even want to hear Paul. I'm not interested in that. And he's not interested in the Jewish persecution. They rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat. I'm not interested in hearing about any of that. And when they drag Sosthenes before the judgment seat and beat him, he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when Paul's writing 1 Corinthians, he mentions a Sosthenes. And if this is the same one, then this individual eventually became a Christian. But Gallio doesn't care about these kinds of things. He's not interested in truth and fairness and justice. He sees all these things going on in town, and with the wave of the hand, he says, you know, let's just break this up and let's move on to other things. And friends, that's really what we see in the world today with regard to a lot of things. We're neither for it or against it. We're just indifferent. And we have to really guard against that attitude. It's easy to slump into a situation with regard to things that are found in the New Testament where we hear that or we see that, and we just say, well, I'm not bothered by that. When you look at some of the versions that are mentioned on this particular verse, verse 17, the American Standard says that he cared for none of these things. One version says he showed no concern whatever. He paid no attention. He cared for none of those things. Took no notice. He was not concerned about this. We're talking about a Roman governor, someone who should have taken interest, especially in the lives of Sosthenes, who's being beaten. Where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Where's the law stepping in to protect this individual? We see it even today. All kinds of things will go on today in our nation, and people who are supposed to be in authority, they just turn a blind eye. Nobody says anything. They downplay it. They mention that it's not a big deal. They don't want to get involved. They're just indifferent. You look at some of the more newer versions, the paraphrases that are more interpretive rather than translations. One says, it did not bother Gallio a bit. Couldn't have cared less. The literal reading is, and nothing about these things to Gallio, it mattered. Turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 6, where the same word is used with regard to Judas. That's why I believe we're talking this morning about not impartiality, we're talking about indifference. You remember with regard to the anointing of Jesus, we studied this last week, Mary's anointing of Jesus. She has done what she could. And the ones there are complaining about how this ointment could have been sold and given to the poor. In John chapter 12 and verse 6, now this he, Judas, said, not because he cared for the poor. That's the same word. He didn't care for the poor. And Gallio didn't care about what was going on. Brethren and friends, we need to care. We need to be on fire in our service to God in all aspects of our life. In the early 1900s, in the city of Delphi, which is northwest of Athens, a few miles, in the early 1900s, in the temple there, and the ruins are still there today, there was an inscription found from Emperor Augustus, who was the emperor at this time here in Acts 18, 51 to 52 AD, he writes an inscription to Gallio. And so it's called the Delphi inscription or the Gallio inscription. And you'll notice his name is mentioned here. Reading from left to right, G-A-L-L-I-O-N, Gallion. What's called the Gallio inscription or the Delphi inscription gives concrete evidence of this historical character that is mentioned here in the book of Acts, again showing that Luke is very accurate in what he is talking about. And in this inscription, his name is mentioned. We won't read all of it, but basically, if you read the whole thing, Augustus is saying that we need to bring some more people into the city of Delphi. Different ones have been leaving. But you'll notice right down there in the middle, but now since it is said to be destitute of citizens, as this Lucius Junius Gallio, my friend and proconsul, recently reported to me. This is archaeological confirmation of the accuracy of the book of Acts and Luke's record here. And let's consider this Gallio. Let's consider this man this morning who these terrible things are going on. Here's an opportunity to learn about Christianity. I don't care about that. People are being persecuted. Sosthenes is being beaten. I don't care for that. And let's learn this morning the importance of having great care in our service to God. Let's be on fire. Let's ask first of all this morning, what is indifference and what will it cause a person to do? Well, first of all, indifference can keep a person from obeying the gospel. I know that I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I know that that's important for me to do, but I'm just not interested. And you'll talk with individuals from time to time, and they will admit that their sins need to be forgiven. They will admit that they need Jesus Christ, but they'll say, not now, like Felix. Go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call. Indifference. They're not opposed to being a Christian. They're not for being a Christian. It's just not something I'm going to think about or care about right now. And you see that today. Rather than being that, let us be zealous to obey. You know, when I think about indifference, I think about it's the very thing that often will keep people from remaining faithful. Paul said that in the latter days some shall fall away from the faith. Christians stay faithful for a while, but indifference sets in, and that's the very thing that causes them to fall away. We talked about that this morning in our Bible class. They're not watching carefully their reading of the Bible every day, or praying on a regular basis, or assembling with the saints, and being active and being faithful, and so they just slowly become indifferent to things, and they fall away. You know, when we think about brethren falling away, and we talked about this morning in the class with regard to worldly things. We talked about sexual immorality and murmuring and different types of things like that. We think about brethren falling away because they're engaged in some terrible immoral sin, and they can certainly do that. But have you ever thought about falling away by just simple indifference? Where we just don't care. You know, I think about that with regard to people who won't stand for the truth. If you were to hear about some brother or sister in Christ not teaching something that is right or not practicing something that is right, would you go up to them and talk with them and try to correct that? Would you contend earnestly for the faith? Would I? Sometimes things go on among brethren and we say, well, you know, I just really wish they wouldn't say that or do that. But what are we doing to stand up for truth? We live in a society now where we need to stand up more for truth. And yes, we want our elders to do that. And yes, we would expect them to do that, or the gospel preacher or faithful brethren. But Jude 3 is for all of us. All of us are to contend earnestly for the faith. When you go to work and when you go to school and wherever you are, among others. But it's easy just to, well, you know, I'm not really for it. I'm not against it. I just let somebody else take care of that. It's easy to do. I think of indifference with regard to denouncing error. In the church there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, they had suffered or allowed
Jezebel to teach there. Can you imagine coming to services each week with this woman Jezebel, and she's teaching and seducing saints to commit fornication, and you just say, well, you know, what can you do? Old Jezebel, you know, what can you do? Well, they were allowing it. And one newer version says, you tolerate her. And that's what our society is about today. Just tolerate everything. Except Christianity. Don't want to tolerate that. We'll tolerate everything except the Bible. We won't tolerate that. But toleration. And that's what these brethren were doing. How did they get to that point? I believe indifference was in there somewhere. And I know that there were brethren there, I'm sure, that were saying, there is no way that fornication is right, and there's no way that she should be doing this. But I really don't want to go talk with her about it. That's just not my thing. And we get indifferent to denouncing error. Because it may be difficult to do from time to time. Some will not assemble with the saints regularly. The Hebrew writer says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the custom of some. Some have had made it a custom of doing that. Well, how did that happen? It could have easily happened by just simple indifference toward the worship service. I don't get anything out of the sermon. I don't get anything out of the singing. The brother who made the comments around the Lord's table, I just don't get anything out of that. The Bible class teacher, Jeff, you know, I just don't get anything out of the Bible class. It kind of starts that way, and then we have other thoughts, and then worldly things come up, and we put that in front of the Lord, and so we start forsaking. Often it happens through indifference. I'm glad we sang the song that we did right before the sermon, Lord, send those reapers into the harvest. It's based upon Matthew 9, 37 through 38. Indifference keeps us from reaching the lost. And we walk by and we drive by people all the time here in Clarksville and Montgomery County or wherever we live, and they're lost. And they're traveling the broad road to destruction, and we won't say anything to them. Often it's through indifference. And so Jesus says, pray that the Lord would send reapers into the harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the reapers are few. And so we need to be out there and speaking to whom we can and all of the individuals that we can. But indifference will often keep us from reaching the lost. In Jude, if you'll turn with me there, we need to be reminded that these people are headed toward hellfire. And we need to do what we can to snatch them out of that fire. Jude 23. On some save, snatching them out of the fire. You know, it's easy, and I put myself into this place where the priest and the Levite, it's easy just to keep walking. That's the easy thing. But that's the indifference. And I want to encourage us this morning to stop like the Good Samaritan did and do something in all of these areas of our life. Indifference can keep us from serving our brethren. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, we're to communicate or share with the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. That takes time. That takes work. That takes planning. That takes sacrifice. And whether it's in or out of our home, we don't need to be indifferent toward that. Our society is becoming more and more closed. Where we have my life or my just very short circle, and I'm just not going to open up to anybody else outside of that. And indifference often drives that. So let's be mindful like Gallio, that that is something that's very commonplace.
There are a lot of Gallios today. Luke said he cared nothing for this, when he should have. You know, indifference is often caused by a number of different things. I want to start by looking at what I believe was Gallio's problem, based upon secular history. Secular history says that Gallio, his brother, said he was a sweet brother. He was so nice that he didn't want to say no to these Jews who were persecuting Paul. He didn't want to stop the beating of Sosthenes. He was just a nice guy. Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." We don't want to be too nice. We want to be a person who's willing to say no when the moment requires it. Maybe that was Gallio's problem. He was a politician. He was self-serving. He was looking out for his own best interest, as they often do. And he's just a nice fellow. There are times with regard to standing for truth and denouncing error when we don't need to be nice spiritually. We need to be firm with the Word of God. Some people, they just really don't understand the magnitude and the gravity and the seriousness of the nature of such. You know, becoming a Christian, if I don't do that, I'm going to be lost. I need to really understand the gravity of the situation. And if I need to learn more, then let me learn what that is. A lot of times I might be indifferent toward a situation because I really don't fully understand that situation. And that's why we're here, to learn and grow and understand the Word of God. And when I learn that, then I need to get up with fire and act upon that. Often, it is probably more the case that it is worldliness. Worldliness has thrown the cold water on that fire and made it go out. Where maybe a member of the church is, as we talked about in class this morning, maybe they've got some sin in their life that they're just committing, and that's keeping them from doing those other good things that they need to be doing. The key is to get rid of that. James talks about those brethren in James chapter 4 and verse 4 who had made friendships with the world and they had become adulterers with God. They've been unfaithful to Him. Along the same lines, it could be that it's just the cares of this life. You remember that was the very thing that choked out the Word in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. It's not that we're opposed to something, it's just we're so busy with things of this life that those other things are not being done. I don't have time to reach the lost. I don't have time to serve my brethren. I don't have time to contend earnestly for the faith. I don't have time to denounce error. I'm busy. I got work and school and things. And the busyness of those things that in and of themselves may not be bad things, all of those things have gotten me indifferent toward my duties as a Christian. We've got to be careful about that. We've got to be careful about pleasing self, what's important to me, and be thinking about what does God want in my life. Paul was not pleasing himself. He wanted to be a servant of Christ. And all of these things that we've talked about this morning that we need to be doing, those are things that God wants us to be doing. And I need to be thinking about what God wants me to be doing. The priest and the Levite were focused on themselves. Well, what would happen if I touched him? What would happen if I got close to him? What would happen? And we turn inward and we think about what we want And we become indifferent to those things around us that we need to be doing. It could be that we're lukewarm, like the church at Laodicea. We're neither hot nor cold. We're neither completely for something, and we're not completely against it. When we do need to be those polar opposites. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Polar opposites and strong in each direction. But we're somewhere hanging out here in the middle, and we're neither hot nor cold. And often that drives indifference. We need to be on fire for the Lord. One thing that would be certainly an issue with us today, turn with me to Amos chapter 6. God's people that Amos addresses had this problem where they were at ease in Zion. And this is similar to what I spoke about earlier with regard to the cares of this life. We have so many nice things that we have become at ease in Zion. With our phones and our TVs and our nice heated and cooled places, and there's nothing wrong with those things, and our cars and other kinds of things, that we've become at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. To them that are secure in the mountain of Samaria, talking about the nice place for them to live, the capital. The notable men of the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. Come down to verse 3. You that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. You have a nice place to lay down. You have nice food to eat. But you're not following my word. Verse 5. That sing idle songs to the sound of the viol, that invent for themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with chief oils, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. My ease is distracting me from being on fire to serve the Lord. I'm at ease. I just think about a person just laying down and just being easygoing. And I need to get up off that bed of ivory and get a fire under me and get to work, you see. It caused them to be indifferent toward the service of God. You know, a lot of times indifference comes about when we just see so many religions around us. There's just so much there. It's overwhelming. And we just say, well, you know, it is what it is. There are those who are teaching another Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11:3, and there are those who are teaching another gospel, Galatians 1:6-9. And we just say, well, you know, we live in America, and denominationalism has been a part of this nation for the past, you know, 200 years or so, and that's just the way it is, and we get sort of indifferent toward that situation. Rather than seeing them as not the New Testament church, we see them as good religious people, and we may be tempted to be indifferent toward their state. It could be mental sloth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. It could be that mentally it takes too much work for me to be on fire. It's easier just to be like that slothful animal, the sloth at the zoo that moves very slowly. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It takes mental effort and work. And then get our body going to get up and do those things that we know we need to be doing. But it's often easier to fall back on laziness. It could be a lack of feeling. I think that was the problem with the priest and the Levite. They just walked by and didn't faze them. Do we lack love? Do we lack emotion and feeling and empathy? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. When we see the lost person, do we feel anything? When we see the need to obey the gospel, are we pricked in the heart? Do we feel anything? Do we feel anything when we see that someone is teaching and preaching something that is not according to the Word of God, some practice or some principle? Maybe we've never even heard it before. Do we feel anything? Or is it just, well, you know, brethren will be brethren. Do we feel anything? Paul talks about these Gentiles at Ephesus before they became Christians. And he describes a very dark situation here. Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness. Their heart was hard and they didn't feel anymore. Thankfully, when Paul came to Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19, he touched some people who still had some feeling in their heart. But there were many others who didn't. And we don't want to get to the point, brethren, in our lives where we do drive by or see that person and we just don't feel anything anymore. So as we close this morning, I want to close on a positive note. Understanding that Gallio is still present today. He cared for none of these things. Didn't matter to him. Didn't faze him. Didn't bother him. One version says he couldn't care less. Knowing that that is a real attitude today, let us encourage ourselves to not be like that. Let us encourage ourselves to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Jude 20. Do whatever it takes to build ourselves up, and more Bible study, more prayer, more attendance at the church service, and less worldly activities. Those things, maybe in and of themselves, may be fine, but they're not going to help us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. They're not going to help us be active and on fire in our service to God. But the Bible study and those things will. We know about Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 who forsook Paul because he loved this present world. And there are things that go on in the world with our phones and our TVs and other cars and other that they can distract us from those things where we can build ourselves up in the most holy faith. I'm going to be at every Bible class that I can. I'm going to be at every service that I can. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And in doing that, that's going to make me more zealous, more excited, more committed. It's the worldly activities that drain that fire from me, and I'd become indifferent. Let us have more of those things that build us up. Let us have this morning more conviction and less fear and cowardice. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God does not give us a spirit of fearfulness. He does not give that to us. We are not going to be a people who go out with fear and cowardice, and we're not going to denounce any error, and we're not going to stand for truth, and we're not going to deal with things that are lies. We're just going to be spiritual pushovers. No, we do not have that spirit of fearfulness. And we know that if we do, Revelation 21:8, Who are those people who are in hellfire? Who are they? Who's at the beginning of the list? The cowards.
We're not going to be that. We're not going to be that. And so on those occasions when we do need to stand up for truth and denounce error, we're going to do that. And our young people are going to do that.
We're not going to be indifferent toward the lies and the errors that are being promoted and propagated today. We're not going to do that. We're going to have more conviction. You know, we're going to have more Christian associations because the more I'm around my brethren, my godly brethren, the more they're going to build me up and encourage me and be an example to me. And that is going to make me more on fire in my service to God. The more I am around worldly associations, and we talked about this in class this morning, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm not talking about don't ever talk with people in the world or have them over or be an example. I'm talking about if my worldly associations are primarily my associations, they're not going to build me up. They're going to make me indifferent.
I love Proverbs 13, verse 20.
Walk with the wise man and you will be wise. They will build you up. They will put you on track with God and His Word. Walk with the wise man. And that makes a great lesson in and of itself. Pick out those congregational associations. That's what a congregation is for. The godly men and women that you can talk to throughout the week, that you can be with throughout the week. And I'm telling you, that will help dispel indifference.
I've had that happen with me before where I will associate with some other godly brethren and after a conversation or after lunch with them or after something with them, they have encouraged me and built me up. I want to leave being more active. It'll happen. I'm telling you.
And the more work we do for the Lord, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the more we do, even if it's small things in and around the building, whatever it is, that will dispel that indifference. But the more we give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27, and we don't resist him, James 4:7, the more he's around and near us and in us, and he's trying to put that fire out. That's what he's doing. And he's very successful. He's very successful. And as we close, more zeal, more fire, less lethargy, apathy. That word apathy, not feeling, pathos, without feeling. We're not going to have apathy. We're not going to have lethargy. We're going to be zealous in good works, zealous of our service to God. It's easy to get up each day and just approach life and He cared for none of these things. That's the easy life. But that's what the devil wants. Proverbs 18, verse 9, he also that is slack in his work is brother to him that is a destroyer. The slacker. That's the easy life. But this morning, we want to be the person who is on fire for the Lord. Gallio. What a guy. Mentioned one time in Scripture. What's he known for? Well, he just didn't care for much. Wow. To go down in history like that. Wow. To step into the cemetery and come up on Gallio's stone there and his epitaph reads, "He didn't care." Well, that's impressive. We can do better, brother. And I know that we will. And I know that we can. Let's go out this week and not be indifferent. Let's go out this week zealous to serve the Lord. Maybe your zeal needs to be shown this morning by coming as we stand and sing this song of encouragement. Or as a child of God, if you need to come back in some way and we can encourage you through prayers, let us do that very thing. But we're going to decide this morning that indifference is not a part of our life. Zealous service is. Why won't you come as we stand and sing if we can help you in some way?